Right, anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys. You're listening to the Wednesday afternoon show. You've got me, Dave Mack.
Ross.
And we've got...
Charlie.
Yes, he's in to join us for the show, so take part in all of our antics of what happens on a Wednesday afternoon, which you've already done well with Ross's R&R and his music trivia.
I've got one right.
And a half.
And I was impressed with that.
Yeah, no, you did well, buddy. And yeah, we've got some more stuff coming up later, especially the dad jokes. Get your reactions off of them. But in the meantime, also, one of the reasons we got you in is to chat a little bit about, you know, all the many things that go on in the world of Charlie Panay, yes. Which every time I talk to you and catch up with you, it's like, I'm doing this now, I'm doing that. Yeah. This is going on. Oh, I've got to go here. I've got to do that. So tell us, you know, obviously what's been going on in your, well, in 2026 so far.
I mean, I don't tend to publicly talk about too much on the island, so islanders don't tend to, they might see me as like the owner of Red Squirrel Property Shop or the trustee of Mountbatten Hospice here and on mainland, but been crazy really. I don't know where to start. I mean, Zoe's Law, obviously it was that was created in memory of my sister, and she died nearly 6 years ago. Last week was the anniversary of the sixth year, so there's been some real movement in that over the last 7 months. I've been hitting my head against a brick wall for years, and we're getting some traction. And even though this isn't the main driving force, even on some beds last week we got something from the minister to announce that they're going to make the changes. Now that's not our main focus, but equally anything involved in melanoma and the skin, I want to try and help change. But equally, yeah, in the actual government parliamentary side, I'm in there quite regularly, and we're getting there slowly but surely, getting there. But it is a relentless task.
Well, it's great to see that they are showing interest in it.
Yeah,
and obviously, I've seen because we're friends on Facebook, so I see when you're popping up to London, just, you know, merrily wander into the House of Commons and
Prime Minister's questions, other things. I think we've got an invite from the minister, who will be the minister by the time I go there, I don't know, but the new minister to go and visit as well and meet them and talk about it, because obviously there's been a few changes in Parliament recently with the minister and secretary and so forth. So we're going back up there imminently to meet with the new ones and see where we are, how we continue moving forward. So, yeah, it's really good traction, really.
Yeah, and you're getting good local support off the MPs as well, I believe.
Yeah, Richard Quigley specifically, to be fair, has really got his teeth into this and helped. And actually, a couple of MPs up north, weirdly, Norfolk things like that. And even when we go to Parliament, because there's so many people affected by this, that actually most of them have had their own experiences or family or friends, and so the support has been phenomenal from Richard and his team, really pushing that, to be fair, so credit to him on that front.
Yeah, so to anyone that's unfamiliar with Zoe's Law, obviously you said sadly it's down to the passing of your sister over 6 years ago due to melanoma and cancer. Obviously, just tell people a little bit about what Zoe's Law is actually doing currently.
Zoe done everything someone should do in terms of see the doctors. She went a few times, she got dismissed a few times, then the last one told her to get her mole shaved off by a beautician. So she did, and that was never tested. And then, you know, when she found out she was ill, she died 55 days later. Now she was 26 years old with two little boys. And you know, Zoe said to me on her dying bed in that last week, you know, can you try and make sure this doesn't happen to other people? I don't want, you know, her boys shouldn't be losing their mummy at that age. So I tried to think about what's the most logical thing we can get changed that makes the biggest impact, and that is you can't get skin tags removed without legally being tested, because then people still have a chance. Because if melanoma is one of the biggest killers in the UK for cancer, but also it's one of the easier ones to cure if caught at the start. So that's the biggest change. But to be honest, along this journey, any change we can make in skin, whether that's melanoma or anything, I'm on that. Like, you know, I had skin charity Melanoma Focus and so forth message me last week thanking me for the sunbed stuff, because they've been battling that for 10-20 years. But to me, I don't care. Like, if we can make a change along that way, on that journey, we're going to do it.
Yeah, well, it's typical attitude of Brits. Is the sun's out, let's just get out in it and burn. And do you know what? We don't spend much time in the sun, so I won't bother with sunscreen. I'll cook myself and then think about it afterwards.
So it is about education, ignorance, all sorts of things. Mm. I mean, I think education, something that I've got into a couple of schools already on the Isle of Wight, and I want to get them into every single school on the Isle of Wight, is our skincare program. So we'll go and put in the sunscreen dispensers and sun cream for free. We're not asking for any money. And we've teamed up with Skin UK, which is UK's biggest melanoma charity. And we've got educational books, assemblies, all done for the schools. So educate from primary school level upwards on everything to do with skin, because it's not just, well, it's sunny today, so must need sun cream. Actually, sometimes a cloudy day has as much or more UV than a sunny day. So it is education and ignorance. It's a bit of both.
But
put it this way, I've got Zoe's Law football team, and I won't name and shame the two people I'm thinking about, but kind of am. we're pretty good, six-a-side team. We've won lots of cups, lots of tournaments. We win the league every single year.
Yeah.
We played a tournament a few summers ago, three summers ago, and it was piping hot. Playing for Zoe's Law. They all know what it's about. They're my mates. Two of them, both ginger. Sorry for anyone ginger here, but
narrows it down.
Both ginger. Were there with their tops off, no sun cream. And I was like, you're literally here because of Zoe. What are you doing? Oh, I'll be all right. I said, you're not going to be all right. When you've got skin cancer and you die, then you'll know why it's not all right. So like, just, it is a bit of ignorance, a bit of education. And for me, I really want to change the message. I've been working with Lighthouse Clinic on the Isle of Wight a lot. Changing the message about skin, not just melanoma, skin, like how do we look after our skin?
Yeah,
there's lots of ways to prevent melanoma, and actually the best is young people and getting them before 11 years old.
Start them off on a trend, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so they think that's the normal, is actually making sure you are putting lotion
just
on.
Looking at the UV yourself. All these, I don't know this in front of me, the weather, but everything will tell the UV now. So even just getting that habit of, well, actually look at what the UV is when we're looking, going out for the day.
Yeah.
Because you can see there, that says medium UV.
Yeah, now, look how bad the weather is out there.
Exactly. People would assume you don't need sun cream today.
Yeah.
Now, real basic prescribed, or maybe not even prescribed actually, but basic moisturisers now have like 30 SPF in. So everyone should moisturise.
Yeah.
So get one that's got that in as a minimal for days like today. There's a lot, you know. I could talk for hours upon hours about that side, but for us, it's about using Zoe's story. And you know, she did die too young. Her boys were too young to lose their mum, especially where she'd done everything you should have done.
Yeah.
So it's about trying to keep that message going. And I think sometimes after the first year of Zoe being dead, passed away, however we want to reference it, I think people think you're okay then. But it's not, it doesn't go away, you just learn to live with it. And I think the challenge I get is it's a very lonely road. Her friends are always supportive in terms of remembering Zoe, talking about Zoe, and my mum and Stuart are incredibly supportive. But
they're fantastic, I must admit.
It is a slog. And to be fair, Lighthouse Clinic have always offered their support to me if I need it. So there's people that do offer support, but anyone listening, if you're in the schools or you know people or you know someone that you think could offer help, ping me a message and we'll explore if it can help us get somewhere.
Oh, fair play. No, credit to you for what you're doing, all of you guys, because obviously, no, it's not just you, obviously, with Zoe's Law. You know, it's like you said, you've got your mum, you've got Stuart as well and other people that contribute. And yeah, keep doing what you're doing, because it's something that people need to know about. And a lot of people, like I said, they take it for granted. You know,
I said, today's a good example. Medium UV.
Yeah.
Like, people would just think that there's no skin damage today.
No, they think the sun's got to be beaming through, not even through the clouds, just literally there.
But, you know, I had a really interesting conversation yesterday, and it's like I said, melanoma can start from so many other things as well.
Mm.
And it starts from looking after your skin head to toe, really. You know, if you do a job where you sit at your desk all day, every day, you're likely to start getting ulcers in your legs younger, as in you might be elderly when that starts to form.
Yeah.
But that also kicks on other things to do with this. So there's lots of different things that people aren't aware of.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Well, thanks very much for touching on those points with us, Charlie. Like I said, we've had you in to talk about it before, but either ways, it's always an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
It's something that doesn't just suddenly stop.
It doesn't stop.
And either ways, we'll come back in a bit.
Yeah.
We'll also chat to you a bit about the things that you're doing with Mountbatten.
Yeah.
And I want to know more about your book as well.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get there.
So, yeah. No, thanks, mate. Right, anyway, we're going to continue our little bit of our chat we were having, Charlie. Now, obviously, you do plenty of stuff for Mountbatten.
Yes.
As well, including being a trustee.
Yes, yeah.
But also, you are doing your 8 challenges in 8 months. Is
yeah,
that correct?
Yeah, I probably should. I'm just going to bring it up so I remember what I'm doing. But yes, I am. I've already done a couple of them, to be fair. But obviously, yeah, I'm a trustee of Mountbatten. But even before I was a trustee of Mountbatten, I always supported it. I mean, when you see what they do for people, including my sister,
yeah,
they're just phenomenal.
Yeah,
they are. So yeah, I've done one already. I'm not good at the names, so that's why I'm just checking the names.
Okay.
The one I done in April was Puig Campana, which is a mountain in Spain.
Okay,
I've done that in a day.
So that's to the top.
Yeah, summit.
Nice.
Yeah, go up and down. No faffing.
No faffing around there. No.
Walk the White was always going to be one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I can't. And this, everything I raise through this is for Mountbatten. I pay for all these challenges. So when people look at this, think, oh, well, you know, how much is it going to Charlie? None. I'm paying for all of this. So I want them to support. Anyone listening that can support me, I'd appreciate it. Walk the White is the May one. Always going to do Walk the White. Then I'm doing one in a couple of weeks or a week and a half, Bobatov Kok, which is another mountain in Montenegro.
Wow.
Then I'm doing a big one, over 100 kilometres through the Colombian jungle in August.
You have your machete where you cut your way through?
Yeah. It's so remote. I've had to sign a waiver that if anything happens to me, they're leaving my body there.
Wow, really?
Well, they can't get you to medical facilities in time. So, and obviously you've got the most poisonous spider, snake, centipede.
Well, I pray that won't be the issue, my friend.
Hopefully not. I've missed one out on my list for anyone who actually goes on this. July, I'm doing the Welsh 3000, which is 14 peaks in 24 hours.
Wow.
That's actually for Wild Heart Trust, guys. That's one of my 8. But they do some good stuff over there, so why not?
They do. They're great guys over there.
Then we've got 15 Tough Mudder, and I've roped in more than 30 people to come along to me on that
one. Always been up for doing that. Just never done it yet.
Well, you can come. we're doing it. I'm doing a bungee jump. I'm doing the Brighton I-360 Skywalk. And another big one, Aconcagua, which is nicknamed the Mountain of Death. That's 7,000 metres in Argentina. That'll take me 21 nights to get to the top of that.
You've got some good travelling. You're getting to see some places around the world as well, which is phenomenal at the same time.
Yeah, they're all I don't really always appreciate that how hard they are. I mean, the Colombia one and the Aconcagua are genuinely dangerous and extreme and hard. Obviously, the other summits and mountains and Welsh 3000 might sound extremely hard to people, but the ones that I'm a bit nervous and scared for are the Colombia and Aconcagua.
Yeah.
And also, I've got to leave my son for 21 nights.
Oh,
you know, that's
I'm sure you make up for it when you're back with a holiday or something.
We've got a call. We've got something. Yeah, we're going away for a little while after that, me and him.
Oh, nice. So. Oh, fair play. Well, mate, honestly, credit to you and your abilities with this. And do you know what? Genuinely, I'd love to join you along for one of it someday.
No excuse not to.
No, I know. You just have to remind me. I'm like you. I keep myself way too busy and then be like, oh, missed out on doing that because doing all these things. But yeah, we'll put it in the diary. We'll make it happen.
You can join any of them.
So if anyone wants to sponsor you, just to round up, how do they go about doing that?
I've got a GoFundMe page, which the link is in my bio on Instagram. Albeit I think you guys might share it, but
yeah, we will.
But if they want to go to my Instagram page, there's a link in the bio, and like I said, everything you donate goes straight to Mountbatten, not to me. I pay for this, so it's to raise money for Mountbatten and along the way raise awareness of my sister and Zoe's law. That's
nice.
What I'm doing.
Great job, Charlie. Great job. Yes, we will be posting that up on our Vectus Radio Facebook and Instagram page, so keep your eyes posted for that. And we'll chat a little bit more in a moment. I'm going to conclude our conversation, Charlie, because obviously we've talked about Zoe's Law, we've talked about your Mountbatten contributions and your 8 events in 8 months.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a little bit else is the fact that you're going to be releasing a book. You're becoming an author.
Yes, becoming an author. I never thought I'd be an author, to be honest with you. But it's here. I actually finished a book over a year ago and it was sat there doing nothing, just a document on my laptop.
So you just did it originally just as a, I'll do it, see how it, what I think of it, and then go from there? Or
I wouldn't put myself as a writer. I like to read books. and I speak, probably people here don't realise, but I speak internationally a lot, so I get taken all over the world to speak on stages and some huge events, you know, like that sometimes I have 15,000 people at, and they always ask about my book. And I always said, I don't really have one.
When's
it
coming out?
Well, yeah, they always ask about my book. Oh, can we get your book? And I'm like, I don't have one. And so that was why I started thinking, well, maybe I should. And to be honest, it was really quite hard. It took me 10, 11 months to do it. And actually, a guy on the Isle of Wight, Matthew White, I think he works at Ride Private now, used to be communications at Mountbatten.
Yeah.
He really helped me, actually, because I said to him, I just couldn't, I read so many books, so I didn't realise how hard it would be. I thought I could just put it into a structure, but so he sat at me and just dragged things out of my head and really helped me drag them out of my head, because I was struggling to get it from my head to structure.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was really probably important in that process, because I just didn't realise what certain things I'd do are different.
Mm.
And what people probably don't realise is when I was young, I didn't really go to school. I struggled really bad with autism and other things, and I had quite severe traumas happen in my life as a child, as a young person, so I didn't even talk for a while. I'd eat underneath tables and things like that, but then I realised at quite a young age, around 11, if I want to live a normal life and do what I want and be free, I need to figure out how to not be controlled,
not shout
by
at
this.
Yourself.
Like, how do I control what's happening? So that's really where this book come from. Now, fast forward to my current day workings, I mentor up to 12 entrepreneurs a year around the world, and I invest for lots of people and things like that. So what I get weekly, and sorry if this is direct and whatnot, is I hear so many excuses.
Yeah.
So people have always coming out of a load of nonsense as to why they can't do something. But
hence the name of the book, Excuses Will Kill You.
Yeah, so that's why I named it Excuses Will Kill You. So it's not a biography. It's very much about analogies from my life, but actually mainly like, well, what are excuses? Where do they come from? How do we move through them? Mm-hmm. I say, you know, how do we get outside that fear bubble? So how do we step through these? So there's lots of different chapters. It's written how I talk, so very direct, short chapters. I want it to be useful. Like, I didn't really write this book to make any money. It was purely just to get out of my head. Matthew, like I said, he's like, do you realise that's quite weird what you've done there? Like, that's not something people do. And I'm like, what? To me, what I do is normal.
Yeah, yeah.
So my main aim of this book is, if one person reads it who's struggling with something within the world of excuses, and it changed their life, I think that's a book well done.
Yeah.
And I've got the book launch, obviously, coming up, which isn't publicly, this is the first time I'm publicly talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it's sold out, so no, you can't come. anyone listening, you can't actually come to it, unfortunately, sorry. But everything I raise that night will go to Mountbatten as well. I'm not here to make money out of that book.
Yeah.
For me, it's about, can I change someone's life? And that would be pretty amazing.
Well, that's a good way to be, because life coaching is an incredible thing to be involved with. Mm-hmm. And again, if you can use your own experiences and share them to help better somebody else's, you know, because it's the whole thing of, you know, going through life, you work out how you need to be by going through situations yourself. Be like, right, did that time, okay, next time I need to do it like this. But some people aren't in those situations where they can experience those things. And I think to be able to give them another outlook on it, you know, sometimes it's nice to get that pre-warning, but then at least, oh, I did read that, actually. I was in this situation, and, oh, yeah, I didn't think about doing it like that.
I think people, your environment is one of the most powerful things, negatively or positively.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, again, you know, I don't know if I can or can't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. But Jeremy Kyle made a good living out of bringing people onto a show who make excuses for a living.
Yeah.
And it might sound harsh to anyone listening, but it is true. Like, okay, I can't talk about all the things I've experienced in life because I don't want to, but certain things I could have easily blamed the world. The things that have happened in my life, I could blame the world for that. I could blame everyone I meet here, you two. But I can choose how I show up.
Yeah.
And I can choose how I can do things. So I've always been like that, and sometimes I can be quite, it can be maybe sometimes hard to be with me when I just don't accept excuses. It's like, well,
no, good on
actually
you.
How can you can change that narrative. You can put yourself in the right room with someone.
Mm.
You can find someone that aligns to you to move forward. So I think it's come from there. Like I said, it's, I just want to help. Like, if it can help one person, I don't mean it a cheesy way, but that's worth writing it then.
Yeah.
But it's got the juices flowing because I am in the process of writing a second all about fear. I don't know how long it would take me because the last one took me a while. But it got the juices flowing. I think maybe I will find it a bit easier the second one. That's, mind you, the publisher won't publish it unless it was a bestseller. So
fair play. Well, I'm excited to read the first one because I am coming to you.
You are at the book launch. You are one of them.
I'm looking forward to reading it. And yeah, I'd love to chat to you a bit more about the potential second one in the
yeah,
future.
Yeah.
But no, that's great to hear. So obviously, just round this up now. So how will people be able to order and buy your book?
To be fair, I'll probably have to ask the publisher that, but it will be on Amazon.
Okay.
So the easiest, I think I'll use Amazon to buy any books now, and or Waterstones maybe, or the airport lounges, I buy them. but yeah, Amazon's the easiest way probably. You go on Excuses Will Kill Me, and you've got hardback, paperback, or e-book, or whatever they call them now.
Brilliant.
Kindle.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck with that, because
yeah,
it sounds
you.
Amazing, and I look forward to reading it myself. And thanks for coming in today to chat about it all as well.
But hopefully the book's not rubbish.
No, it won't be. It'll be fine, mate.